Howdy. How y'all doing this morning? Boy, I tell you what, we need the rain, and we're getting it, isn't it? Boy, I'm telling you, I just love it. Everything's starting to green up. God is just blessing us left and right. Do what? I didn't hear. Oh, you was talking to them. They're on the front row. That's right. You know, this week, something happened to me that it's not a surprising thing to happen to me because it happens quite often, but it just so happens that this week, the Lord was not giving me the message that He wanted me to preach. I did everything I normally do. I read my Bible, I pray, I read my Bible, I pray, I read my Bible, I pray. I did that for days on end. Nothing happened. And I decided Friday that I was going to go get a haircut. Well, I got a shearing is what I actually got. But the barber is a good friend of mine and a Christian, a believer. And he and I pray for each other and we talk and we share things that's going on in our lives. And I got to talking about Coulter Knapp and how we've been earnestly praying for him. And I started telling that he was in, you know, that it had stopped growing. The tumors had stopped growing, and I couldn't get it out. And he said, "Brother, let me just pray for you right quick." Well, he started praying. We both started praying. The anxiety and the anxiousness that I had in my heart just went away, and we both had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. It was the most amazing thing. I mean, I just felt the Holy Spirit just completely calm my spirit and fill me with joy about what was going to happen. Not just about Coulter and his grandpa, but about everything, even the message. And while he was praying, the whole message for today flooded into me. I mean, it was just like taking a drink from a fire hydrant. I mean, it just, woof, I had it. The scriptures, everything. And it was such a blessing. And I told him, I said, man, dude, I tell you, I really needed that. He said, woo. He said, man, he says, I don't know exactly what happened. I said, well, I know what happened. The Holy Spirit showed up. When two or more are gathered in His name and you're praying, He's there. And Jesus showed up. We had a face-to-face encounter. You know, it's been for as far back as I can remember, the cowboy way for making deals is to go to a man and face-to-face look at each other, make the deal, and shake hands. And that has been the bond right there. This is before the internet. This is before texting. This is before, what's the other one, Instagram? I don't know about those others. I do know about Facebook and how I can get you in trouble because it's got me in trouble before. But they always did everything face-to-face, not on phone calls or, you know, on video conferences and stuff like that. They worked a deal hand-to-hand, face-to-face. Speaking of face-to-face, we were here the other night and we were breaking in some ornery, mean steers. I'm talking about ornery. And Brother Wendell come face-to-face with one that wanted to rearrange his whole body. I never saw a man move so fast. I didn't know a big man could move that fast, but he did. And I tell you, Mark, it wasn't much better because Mark Burr, he's supposed to have a bad knee. You know, I never seen anybody jump onto the fence as high as he did. In a single bound, he is on the top rail. They had a face-to-face encounter with something that wanted to hurt him and destroy him. In the scriptures this morning, I want to tell you a story about a man that was this poor guy. In his life, he did nothing but try to hurt people. He was, if you want to call him crazy, whatever you want to call him, he did nothing but run around buck naked. I'm sorry, but he did. in the cemetery, and I mean, he was nuts. I mean, they tried to constrain the guy. They tied him with ropes, he'd break them. They finally got some chains on him, and he broke the chains. Nothing could they do to this man to stop this guy from his rampage. Nobody wanted to go anywhere near that area. Well, Jesus and disciples, they had just pulled up. They just crossed the Sea of Galilee, and they just pulled up. We're going to start in Luke 8:26. I want to read something, and then I'll tell you the rest of the story. That's Luke 8:26. It says that, so they arrived in the region of Gerasenes. I don't know. That's one of those words. Across the lake from Galilee. As Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man who was possessed by demons came out to meet him. For a long time, he had been homeless and naked, living in a cemetery outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked and fell to the ground in front of him, and he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God, please, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already commanded the evil spirit to come out of him. This spirit had often taken control of the man. Even when he was placed under guard and put in chains and shackles, he simply broke them and rushed out into the wilderness completely under the demon's power. Here is a man who absolutely had no control over what he did. He was completely at the mercy of the demons that lived in him. The next verse, Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" The demon spoke out and said, "Legion," for he was filled with many demons. The demons kept begging Jesus, "Don't send them into the bottomless pit." There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby, and the demons begged him to let them enter the pigs. Jesus gave his permission. Well, I know the rest of you know the rest of the story. The demons went into the pigs, and they went bug nuts and ran off the cliff, and it killed all of them. They all died. This man, as soon as no one in the world could control this guy, no one, till he had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. The moment that he saw Jesus, he immediately had to stop and take notice because of one thing. He knew the authority with which Jesus spoke. He knew that Jesus had the power of Almighty God within him. You know, in every encounter that Jesus had with folks, whether it was with the woman at the well, where she had been married so many times that she probably couldn't remember, and the guy that she was with that at that time she wasn't even married to, the moment that she went and faced Jesus, came into his presence face to face, she saw her sin. And Jesus said, "I forgive you of your sins. Go and don't sin anymore." She immediately changed her life because of Jesus. Whether Jesus was come in contact with a prostitute or whether it was a little child, another little child, it amazed me. I read the story of another child that was possessed by a demon, and it was just destroying this little kid, and his dad brought him to Jesus and said, "Can you help him?" As soon as he brought him into Jesus' presence, guess what the demon said? "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" I mean, these demons that were in folks, they knew who Jesus was. And they were scared to death. Because they said, "Please don't send us back to the pit, to the bottomless pit." They were free to run around and cause havoc. But when Jesus showed up, they knew their time is gone. Their time was ended. That their power that they had, that they had been given by Satan, was no longer effective because the power of God showed up. Jesus showed up face to face. Whether Jesus was coming face to face with a leper, he would heal him. There was a change. Whether they were blind, they would be able to see. Even if you're dead, even if your body is completely dead and you're already stinking, if you have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, he can bring you back to life. You go, you got to be kidding me. Really? Well, it's a fact. There's a friend of his named Lazarus that they had came to him and said, Jesus, you need to come. Your good friend Lazarus is sick. And he's not going to last very long. Jesus, he said that he tarried there for where he was at for just a little longer. Well, Lazarus died. And they brought news back and said, well, there ain't no sense coming now, Lord, because he's dead. And he said, no, I'm coming anyway. He shows up, and Lazarus' sister said, why didn't you come? Why didn't you come when we called you? Why, you could have done something. We begged you to come. Why didn't you show up? Jesus had a purpose for waiting. He said, where's he at? They said, well, he's already buried. He's in his tomb. He said, roll that stone back. Jesus walked in. He said, Lazarus, come forth. I mean, the smell was... He said, Lord, you don't understand. He's already passed. He's already smells. He's already decaying in there. Lazarus, come forth. By the power of Jesus Christ and our Lord, he wakes up and walks out. Now, he had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, where even death itself could not rob that person of a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a guy that's wrote many books in the New Testament. His name's Paul. He was one of the... Man, this guy was a vicious... he was almost as vicious as those steers out there that we worked the other night. This guy loved to persecute and to see Christians die. He wanted to exterminate all Christians. He did the best he could to search them out, find them, bring them to trial, and get them killed. He wanted them out of the way. He was on his way to Damascus, and he was just walking along, and all of a sudden, he had a face-to-face encounter with God's Son, Jesus Christ. He was immediately blinded. Because of that experience, Paul no longer went out trying to find people in the way he did before. He sought people, all right, but he started seeking people who didn't know Jesus instead of those that did know him. He had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ that changed his life forever. And we've enjoyed many of the scriptures that he has written, inspired by God himself. I have one more. It was a Roman soldier. This one is a little different. This Roman soldier, he comes, he is an officer. He comes to Jesus and he said, I come to you and I'm asking you to heal my servant because he's sick unto death. And Jesus said, well, I'll come. He goes, no, you don't understand. I'm not worthy for you to come to my house. I know all you have to do is just say the word, and he will be healed. He said, because I know commands. When I give a command, when I give an order, I know it's going to be carried out. He said, all you have to do is give the word, give the command. And I know he'll be healed. Jesus said, I hadn't seen faith like this in a long time. The faith, that kind of faith. This man that got healed didn't have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. He had a long-distance one. But he was still healed. But the encounter was with the officer in Jesus. That was the one that was face-to-face. You know, Jesus has so much power that he even has power over the sea, over the wind, over everything of nature. He not only can calm the worst hurricane that's out there, but shoot, he can walk across that water. It has no effect on him. It doesn't matter. He has complete power over even everything that has been created. When Jesus chose his disciples, he went face to face to each one and said, "Follow me." Just think back for just a second. What if it was you and someone you had never met before, somebody you probably heard about, walks up and said, "Stop what you're doing and follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men." What would you do? These men, because they looked him in the eye, they knew who Jesus was. They dropped their whole life, everything that they were doing, from being a doctor to a fisherman, a net, it didn't make no difference. They stopped what they were doing and followed Jesus because they had a face-to-face encounter with the Son of God. You know, you may be sitting here this morning and you may be discouraged, downhearted, feeling unloved, unappreciated, tired, weary of what's going on in your life. You may even be angry. You may be just so mad that you're spitting nails, either at your spouse or a friend, or maybe even God himself. Or maybe you're mad at me. I don't know. Whatever's going on in your life, Jesus says, "Come to me. I want to see you face to face. I'll take your burden. I don't care what's going on in your life. Come to me. Because I have the power to fix it. I care about you." When someone tells me that they want to help me, I know whether or not if they really mean it. I know if they're doing it because they love me, they care about me, or they just want to get a paycheck. I know. We know the difference. When you have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, you know that he does care about you. I don't care what you've done, what you've said, where you have taken your life, what trail you've taken. It doesn't matter. Jesus loved you even while he says you were a sinner, before you were his. That's the exciting part to me. When I get overwhelmed with being a pastor, when I just get overwhelmed of being a husband or a friend to someone, when I just get overwhelmed and I think, you know, I just don't think I can get through the day, I know where to go. I know where to take my overwhelmness, if you want to call it. I know where to take it because I've done it before. I take it to Jesus. There I was sitting in that barber's chair, and I was, you know, I was a little overwhelmed. I have to admit it. I had all these burdens in my heart. I have burdens for the church, burdens for you that are sick, what you're going through in your life. Those sometimes really get to be a heavy thing on me, and I pray, and sometimes I don't see you know, God working like I'd like to see him work, fast enough. I want it to be in my time frame and not his sometimes. But as that man prayed for me, God healed. He just lifted and pulled all the things that I had been worrying about and that I'd gotten myself overwhelmed with that I had no control over. And he just took them out and said, now, he said, carry my load because it's light. He said, let me carry the big stuff. Let me carry the heavy stuff that's just eating you alive. Let me have it because I can handle it. I had the power to take care of it. He has all the power, whether it's heaven or on earth. He has dominion and all authority to do miraculous stuff in each and every one of our lives. You think, well, you know, I don't really believe that Jesus really cares about me. Now, he may care about you. He may care about the elders. He may care about the lay pastors, maybe the people that are playing in the band. But I don't really think that he cares about what goes on in my daily life and the stink that I'm in. I promise you that he does. It's written in God's word that he does care. If he says, I care about what birds eat. How many of y'all were laid awake at night going, man, I was wondering if that bird had enough to eat today. I've worried about my horse, but I've never worried about a bird. But Jesus cares about the birds to make sure that they get something to eat. What greater are you worth to him than a bird? A lot more, y'all, I promise you. Jesus makes the impossible things in your life possible. There's been many times I'd look. We had something happen to us this week. I'm sorry, my nose is running like a faucet. Apologize. But Claudia and I, we had our septic system. We had folks over. We had all my family over, both my girls and all the grandkids. And with all those folks using the toilets, all those folks taking showers, all 10, 12, whatever, however many it was, all of the washing machine going all the time and the washing the dishes, all of a sudden the septic system is full. It can't hold anymore. And you flush the toilets and you know where it goes? On the floor. And I'm praying, I'm saying, oh Lord, please, don't let it rain. Just let the feeder lines do what they're supposed to do. So we don't have any more mess, literally mess. So I prayed. We knew. I said, well, you know, it's been a long time since we had our septic tanks pumped out. I know you love to hear about this, so I'm going to tell you. So we did. We called, and I'm thinking it's going to cost $600-$700. Because that's about what it cost the last time I had it done. I thought, oh, it's. And we just didn't have $600. And we really thought it was going to be more than that. And the man showed up, and he did his thing. And it was amazing because he showed up by himself. And, you know, I cannot stand to watch a man work by himself. I can't do it. You see folks, they just stand there and they just, I can't do it. So I went and got a shovel and I helped him. And it took hours and hours because we were digging all over the place trying to find him. We didn't know where they were. The tanks, that is. But at the end, his truck quit working. I had to go get some starting fluid and start his truck. Just different things happened. But I got to invite him to church when it was all over. I invited him to Common Ground. I said, brother, you need to come. Bring your family with you. I said, you'll be blessed. I said, because there's folks down there that love the Lord. And I said, we can't have too many friends, can we? And he said, you're right, we can't. Now, I don't see him here this morning, but he may come one day. And if he does, I know that he will be richly blessed. But he blessed me because it was half of what I thought it was going to be. It was less than half. It was $275, and I'm sitting there going, I wanted to argue with him. I said, are you sure? Are you sure? Is that both tank, two 500-gallon tanks? You sure? Yeah. Why, you won't pay more? To me, God showed up. He took a heavy burden. I had that much. I was expecting so much more. But God blessed me even with poop. That goes to show you, he cares about everything. I'm not going any further. But whatever needs you have, Jesus has the answer for it. Even if it's septic tanks. Because he cares about you. And he cares about me. The little stuff, not just the big stuff that you deal with that just overwhelms you sometimes. Jesus said, man, you don't have to carry that load. Bring it to me. Let me carry it. Because, you see, I've got the power to change what's going on in your life. I've got the power to change you. I've got the power to change your spouse, your friend. I have the power over life and death itself. Either one. So what are you waiting on this morning? Why are you carrying everything that you're carrying today that you came in with? Why do you carry it? The same reason I did is because we forget that there's a better way. We forget that the person that we serve, the God we serve, cares enough about us to say, whoa, let me have it. I don't care whether it's money. I don't care what it is. I don't care whether it's cattle you're worrying about. Stock prices, I don't give a flying flip. I don't care. Bring it to me. Because I have control of all of it. And I care about you. I love you. What are you waiting for? I think all of us this morning need to have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ this morning. You say, how can I do that? I want to tell you, the easiest way to do it, and that's find you a place where you can kneel down and you start praying. Because when people start praying, Jesus shows up. He's here and he's with you all the time. But when you start praying, it's like, I've told this story many times, it says that prayers in heaven is like aroma that goes around the throne, around God, and God's, it's like incense burning, the prayers. And my cowboy logic says, let's stink up the throne. Man, let's stink it up with prayers. Let's just have so many prayers going on for each other that he has to answer it. You know, that he goes, woo, son, you know, there is so much going on for this person or that. I'm going to take care of this one. It's loud and clear. What have you got going on this morning that you have been carrying? Nobody knows even but you that you've been carrying it. Bring it to Jesus. Let him have it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning, face to face with you through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, there's someone here that's hurting this morning. There's someone here that's going through some trials, some temptations, things, Lord, that no one else knows but them. Father, we just bring it all to you. Lord, I just pray that you give us an opportunity to relieve ourselves of the load that we carry on a daily basis, an hourly basis, minute by minute. To have that release, Lord, is so sweet. That refreshment, that freedom that we have in Christ like no one else has. I don't know how folks do it, Lord, without you. How do they get by without you? I don't have a clue. Thank God we have you. I ask for a special blessing. I ask you to take everything that everyone is worrying and carrying this morning, Father. Take it off of them. Give us all freedom. Freedom in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. Today is potluck day. Woo! I tell you, it has been such a blessing for me to come and talk this morning, because the Lord really affected me when I got a haircut. What can I say? God shows up in the weirdest places, don't he? Whether it's a septic tank or a haircut barbershop. But God is there. I pray that God blesses y'all and that you take your cares and your worries and your problems to him. I promise you, he will take it. And Wendell's going to say the prayer for us at the end for the food. Ha! Just thought I'd let you.